Discuss the bracha of Dain HaEmes and tie up some loose ends about Kriya. Again, next week we're not going to have a shiur because my father's giving a shiur. It's Hanukkah. And then in 2 weeks I'm going to be in Los Angeles on Wednesday night. So,
so
no shiur.
She'll be 3 weeks in there.
Don't worry, there'll be a conference call in on Thursday, even from LA.
But,
yeah. Okay, so let's begin like this. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Al Shmuas Rose, that's number Aleph on the source sheet, when I hear about bad news, I make a bracha, Baruch Dayan HaEmes. V'chayiv anem levarach al ha-ra, k'shem shem levarach al ha-tov. Says the Gemara, I have to make a bracha al ha-ra, the same way I make a bracha al ha-tov. It's interesting to note that the Gemara writes in Brachas Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, if you look at number 2, it says, Ha-ra ishto shel Lot, if someone sees the ishto shel Lot, the place where Lot's wife passed away, mevarach baruch Dayan HaEmes. He makes a bracha of Dayan HaEmes. And in Shulchan Aruch, this is quoted la halacha in Simen Reish Yud Ches. If a person passes the place where Ishto Shalot passed away, you make the bracha of Dain HaEmes because that's bad news. Frek the Sharat Zion, what do you mean? The only time you make a bracha of Dain HaEmes is when you're really hurt by a certain occasion, by a certain occurrence. Who in the world cares about Ishto Shalot? That happened so many thousands of years ago, it doesn't bother anybody that you know. So why does the Shulchan Aruch quote this la halacha and say that we make a bracha of Dain HaEmes upon seeing the Ishto Shalot? Okay, so we'll leave that question for now, but basically, the Rishonim and Achronim pick up on the original Gemara in recording the din of saying Dain HaEmes. The Gemara says, K'shem Shemavarech al Ra, right? The same way you make a bracha on a Ra, so too you make a bracha on the Tova. So the question is, well, what does that mean? So the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah is one of them, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it from Rabbeinu Yonah, right? That K'shem means in the same simcha that I have when I make a HaTova HaMeitiv, so too I'm supposed to have that same level of simcha when I make a Dain HaEmes. It's a very difficult level for us to reach, meaning obviously I'm not happy when I make a Dain HaEmes, so how am I supposed to do it in the same way I would make a HaTova HaMeitiv? Be it as it may, the question is if that is in fact correct. Yes, we might not be on that Madrega, but if that's correct, then I'm supposed to have the same feelings, so then why were Chazal Masakin two separate brachos? Why not just make one bracha of HaTova HaMeitiv? If I'm really supposed to feel that everything the Ribbono Shel Olam does is L'Tav Avid, and that's why I'm supposed to have the same feelings of Simcha when I make the Dain HaEmes as when I make the HaTova HaMeitiv, so then why isn't there just one bracha that was instituted on both occasions? Make a HaTova HaMeitiv on the death, and make a HaTova HaMeitiv on something good that happens. What is the difference between these two brachas? So my father explained to me as follows. The pshat over here is that when a person makes a bracha, the halacha is he has to make the bracha according to his perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're right. I'm supposed to have the same feelings of simcha when I suffer a loss and when I have something wonderful happen to me. You're right, I am supposed to feel that. But what's my perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time when I'm making the bracha? Right now when I suffer a loss, is my perception of him that he's a Tova HaMeitiv? Yes, deep down somewhere I'm supposed to believe that, but is that what I really perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No. I perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being a Dayan HaEmes, as being a strict Dayan who decided, for whatever reason it might be, I'm not questioning it, but for some reason he decided that he's going to take the life of someone I'm close with. So if that's the case, you have to make a bracha according to your perception. I want to just expound on this for a few minutes. Where do we find such a concept? So number one, on Shmini Atzeres, we know we begin to say Mashiv HaRuach, right? So what's the halacha if a person... Say Mashiv HaRuach and Shmini Atzeres. So what's the halacha if a person is davening v'yechidus at home, and what?
And he didn't hear
the chazan make the clap to say Mashiv HaRuach, and he didn't hear the chazan, you know, say the whole pizmon for Mashiv HaRuach. So he's davening at home before the tzibur daven. So what's he supposed to do? Should he say Mashiv HaRuach in Musaf because now is the time for Mashiv HaRuach, or no? So the Acharonim say no, that a person who's davening v'yechidus at home only begins to recite Mashiv HaRuach at Mincha. Only begins to recite Mashiv HaRuach at Mincha, and he doesn't recite Mashiv HaRuach at Musaf. However, when it comes to December 4th, December 5th, and we begin to say Talam Atar, right? So the Gabbai makes a clap on the bima and he says, saying Talam Atar the Bracha. So what's the din there? A person who's davening b'yechidus at home? He's supposed to say it. So what's the difference? Why by Mashiv HaRuach do we say somebody who's davening at home does not recite it because he didn't hear it from the Chazan? Mashenke, when it comes to Talam Atar, even if a person is davening b'yechidus at home, he does recite Talam Atar. What's the difference? So the answer is, if Soloveitchik suggested, and my father writes this from the Rav, that the answer is as follows. In the same Talam Atar, so that's a bakasha like any other bakasha, in the Milah Shemona Esrei, in Rifa'enu. I want to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, don't just be Merapi all the Cholim. I want to specialize the bracha, personalize it for this individual Cholim. That's permissible. I'm allowed to do that. If I'm talking about Baruch Aleinu when I ask Hashem in the middle, please help me with this and this business deal. That's okay. Bakashas, you're allowed to specialize. So Mimela, even if I'm davening at home, the same Talamater, if now is the time when we're supposed to ask for rain, so even if I didn't hear the Chazan, it's a Bakasha. It's okay. But Gvuras Gashamim, Mashva Ruach, that's a tier of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Well, when you're describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he has to be described based on the perception of the Mevarich. So who's going to decide when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, in our perception, in our mind, when is HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Mashva Ruach, and when is he not a Mashva Ruach? So the Tzibur as a whole decides, well, now is the time of year when in our perception we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a person who is Mashva Ruach Amarad HaGeshem. So therefore, if a person's davening biyachidus, this is not a bakasha. This is a tir. This is like a bracha. So Mela, when it comes to that, since the brachas have to be according to our perception, if a person's davening at home and he didn't get the haskamas hatzibur, that the tzibur perceives HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this particular time as being a mashav ruach, he would not recite mashav ruach until mincha that afternoon.
So to extend what you just said, tzibur forgot, for whatever reason, bachamarats, whatever it was, forgot to say it that day
what if the shamash didn't give a clap and said Mashav Ruach?
Right, so then the tzibur hasn't yet decided.
So I'm saying you don't say it?
Yeah, because the tzibur has not decided as a whole that we feel that now the Rabbanu Shalom is Mashav Ruach.
So irrespective that you daven this community, and the shul, whatever the reasons, do not do it for a couple of days, you would not say it at all.
Right, because you need the tzibur to be koveya. When it comes to Talib Matur, even if the shuls forget about it.
What happens if you're out of town? You're out of town, there's no tzibur. You're stuck in a hospital, you're stuck somewhere in Kansas. What do? You don't say it? I'm in a hospital.
I think you only start by mincha.
No, you did no tzibur around you.
But the tzibur has to be koveya. So the tzibur is koveya by musaf. Yeah, so the tzibur is koveya by musaf. Or if you're connected to a shul, your tzibur is koveya by musaf. So if you daven musaf after the tzibur...
I'm saying differently. Let's say there is no from tzibur. You're in the Midwest.
You're not shaykh to anybody.
Right. What do you do then?
I don't know.
There's a tzibur on the East Coast that's already said an hour earlier.
No, but I think it's your tzibur.
Yeah, but there's no tzibur in this town.
Right. I don't know. Just to bring this point home further, let's look at a Gemara in Yuma Daf Samach Tes. This is a very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they stopped saying in Shemona Esrei, HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibur, VaHanor. In Shemona Esrei. But it just took the words out.
Right.
How do you take it out? Says the Gemara. Lama nikra Shman Anshei Knas HaGadol. Why are the Anshei Knas HaGadol called the Anshei Knas HaGadol? Says the Gemara, Shechzira Atara Liyoshna. Because the Anshei Knas HaGadol brought Atara Liyoshna. They brought back the old way things were supposed to be. Why? Also, Moshe Omar, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was mispalel, he said, HaKel HaGadol HaGibur VaHanora. Also, Yirmiyah Navi came many years later and he said, Nachrim Mekarkrim Behechal Oyev, Nachrim Yev Gayim, dancing around in the Hechal, Ayin Arosav. How do you call the HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaNora? What do you mean, Nora? You have Gayim dancing around the Beis HaMikdash. You have the whole Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. You're not Nora. So what do you say? Lo Amar Nora. So just like that, Yirmiyah Navi takes out the word Nora from Shmona Esrei, a Pella. Then the Gemara says, also Daniel a couple of years later, and he sees Nachrim Mishtabdim Bebanav. He sees that Klal Yisrael is subservient to the Goyim. So he says, what do you mean? Ayik Burosav, how do we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Gibor? This is not someone who's strong. How are you letting the Goyim rule over your nation?
Right.
So Lo'am or Gibor, so he takes it out. Asa Inu, so then later the Anshei Knesset Gedolah came along and they said, no, we'll tell you what it means, HaKel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora. It doesn't mean that he stays on top of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't mean that he keeps his Beis HaMikdash alive. Rather, what it means is, Adarabba, Zuhi Gvuras Gvuraso, Shekovesh Es Yitzro. This is Hashem's Gibor, that although he has so much to be angry about things that are going on in the world, still, he's Kovesh Es Yitzro, he holds it in and he doesn't get angry at the world. Erech HaPayim L'Rishoyim, Be'elohein HaRosef Shil Malei Moro Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heich Uma Achas Yecholu L'Skayim Bein HaUmas. Fine. So what do you see from the Gemara? You see that a bracha has to be Kefi Hasagas HaMavarech. So Yirmiyah Navi comes along, he says, I live in a generation where, according to our perception, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a Nora. We know deep down that he is, but we don't see that. So Yirmiyah says, you're right, take it out of the bracha. Daniel comes along and he says, in our perception, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a Gibor. Okay? You're right? So obviously you can't just have every Tom, Dick, and Harry get up and say, well, we don't think he's this, we don't think he's that. But Yirmiyah and Daniel were deciding on behalf of the Tzibur that this is the perception that we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the way where Koveya, where Brachos are. I think based on this is the answer I once suggested The question is, we have in many different contexts, Ein lanu din Talmud Chacham is man hazeh. Right? The Gemara has a lot of dinim that a Talmud Chacham shiny for this, Talmud Chacham shiny for that, Talmud Chacham doesn't have to pay taxes, a whole bunch of things. But in all those places, kemat in all them, we paskin halacha that Ein lanu din Talmud Chacham is man hazeh. What do you mean? You're not like, you know, you're not like the Rambam, you're not like Reb Kiva Eger, even if you're a great Talmud Chacham, you're not as great as they were. So Mela, we don't hold a Talmud Chacham. I mean, we respect them, but we don't hold that they're the same level. So the question is, if you're right, that we don't hold that they're a Talmid HaChacham Mizman HaZeh, so why is it that we have the minig to say the bracha shechalak mechachmasu li'reyav even Mizman HaZeh? Why do you make the bracha? What do you mean? If Ein lanu din Talmid HaChacham Mizman HaZeh, with regard to so many other aspects of halacha, so how come when it comes to making the bracha on a Talmid HaChacham we make? I thought the answer is, based on this yisod, that a bracha is according to our perception. It doesn't matter that you don't have the official rules of a Talmud Chacham, but if in the world's perception, Rabbi Avad Yosef is a great Talmud Chacham, okay, we didn't know the Rambam, we didn't know Rabbi Kiva Eger, so to us, we think he's a Talmud Chacham, so we make a bracha on him.
It's based on Tzibor's assessment again, going back to that comment. Yeah. We're not saying it's an individual's comment, it's a Tzibor's comment.
Right.
Now.
Right.
I mean, when you go back to the example, you talk about Yirmiyahu, you talk about the Neil.
No, but they were deciding. It's so like the Gabbai gets up on behalf of the Tzibor.
Right, on Tzibor. So go back to the Holocaust and go back to the camps, you know, and you had people who felt like they couldn't daven.
Right.
Like, is that wrong?
I mean, I would have said context, that you have to be a Yirmiyahu Navi or a Daniel to do that.
We go back to the question of the Tzibor.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the famous story of the Klosenberger Rebbe, that, right. You know, when you're reading the Tokotok for the first time, they told people to read it out loud, because we've lived through the whole Tokotok. Like, you know, how do you make a change like that, you know, arbitrary from customs? But
I don't know.
Dolan can, I guess.
Yeah. So getting back to our question here, you know, the question that we raised was, if you're right that Kishem Shem Avarach Ala Tov, Kachem Avarach Ala Ra'af, I'm supposed to have the same feelings when I make a bracha on something good as when I make a bracha on something bad. So then why were Chazal Masakin two different brachas? Chazal should be Masakin one bracha. A Hatova Ametiv, even when somebody dies. The answer to that is no. You're right, deep down we might want to feel that, but the bracha has to be according to our perception. So that's why we have two different brachas, one Hatova Ametiv and one a Dayan HaEmes. It's important to point out that the bracha of Dayan HaEmes is not particularly related to the Kriya. Although we do make the dynamis at the same time as we generally rip Kriya, the dynamis is not really related. As we see, the Chachmas Adam writes that even if someone dies on Shabbos, let's say, and you don't rip Kriya on Shabbos, you still recite a dynamis. He quotes that from one of the Rishonim. So you see that it really, it's not a bracha on the Kriya per se. And we spoke last week why there's no particular brichas on mitzvah on the Kriya. Not going to get back into it. So now let's go through some of the loose ends in Kriya that we haven't yet discussed. Flip to Sif Yud Dalit. Shin Mem Sif Yud Dalit. Shulchan Aruch says, "Al kol ha-mesim, ratzo korea b'yad, ratzo korea b'kli." If a person wants to be korea with his hands, he's allowed to. If he wants to do it with a scissors or a razor, he's allowed to. Al aviv al imo, on his parents, which is more chamer, he has to do it b'yad. That's an important din, that when it comes to parents, a person has to be more machmer in the kriya than when it comes to other of the Zion Krovin that he's mechuyev to be misabel on. So this is one of the differences, b'yad or b'kli. Now, nowadays, we have very thick begadim, and it's very hard to do a b'yad.
Well, yeah.
Right, so generally, we assume that Achronim say, if you have a very thick begad, so you begin with a razor, and then the person should take both sides with his hands and rip the rest. So that's an important halach. Let's look at sif tes.
Does it have to be both sides?
What?
Or can you just
I'm gonna get to that. Okay. Just want to get to some other halachas first. Mm-hmm. Flip to sif tes. It says, in shim mem sif tes, another din. Al kol ha-mesim korea alav tefach be-beged ha-elyon. On all the other mesim, you do the kriya on the beged ha-elyon v'dayo, and that is considered enough. Now, Achronim over here discussed the bir ha-gra, the Rebbe Kiva Eger. What?
Top layer.
Top layer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what happens if you do the bottom layer? Are you yotzei or not? A big discussion in the Achronim. Okay, not for now. But al aviv al imo, here's a second difference between aviv al imo and shar krovim. The first difference we just saw was what? That whether you're supposed to do it b'yad or b'kli. Yeah, right. Second difference that we find is here, whether or not you do beged elyon, but al aviv al imo, you do kol begadav, you're mechuyev to rip all of your clothing. And the third difference is that al kol ha-mesim, you only rip a tefach, as you see in the opening words of the sif, you only rip one tefach. When it comes to aviv al imo, you have to do ad Shemigale es libo, right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch says over here. So we have three differences. Number one, b'yad or b'kli. Number two, is it just the beged elyon or kol begadav? And number three, Do you do it just a tefach, or do you do ad shemegala eslibo? What? Oh, so we'll get to that also. But in Marikot Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us haroe es hamigdash is chayiv the kroa. Someone who sees the makom hamigdash bicharbano, obviously, is chayiv to rip kriya. Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Siman Tavkuf Samach Aleph. This is quoted, and it says that he has to be korea kol begadav ad shemegala eslibo. The same way we find over here. By Aviv al Imo, you're mechuyev to Rip Kriya, not just the Beged Elyon, but Kol Begadav, and not just Tefach, even Achi Galas Libo. So too, when you see the Makom HaMikdash, you have to not only rip Beged Elyon, you have to rip Kol Begadav, says the Shulchan Aruch. You're asking, Akhenon does that, so we'll get to that in a minute. And, one second, and there has to be Achi Megalas Libo. Yeah.
Yes, so the fact that it's mentioning Libo, I guess, also points out that it's on the right side.
Correct. So that the Taz points out that there's a difference between Al Aviv Al Imo and Shar Kroven. Left. One second. Yeah. Al Aviv Al Imo, you have to rip on the left side because Achi Gala Es Libo. On Shar Kroven, you can rip on the right side. That's what the Taz quotes. If you do it B'dieva the wrong way, most say it's not Ma'akiv. It's an interesting Shaila I actually once got. What happens if a person has dexteria? You know what that is?
No.
A person's heart is on the other side. He's not a sick man, but he has his heart. He was born like that, that the heart's on the other side. He wanted to know, should he rip Kriya on the other side or not? It's a great shayla. Okay, so we'll get to it. When you meet such a person, we'll discuss. But how great is that shayla? His parent died, and he wanted to know, should he rip Kriya on the other side?
That's a good
a very interesting shayla. So the question here is, if you're right, that the Kriya on the Makom HaMikdash...
You would think so.
What?
Based on the way the Shulchan Aruch
is
written.
Right, because it has to be Libo. Right, that's the way. Yeah, it's an interesting question.
It doesn't mention right or left.
Right,
they may have not known about that situation.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question.
Not too common.
Yeah, but the problem is twofold. If you say that the kriya on the Makom HaMikdash is the same as kriya al aviv al imo, then we have two problems. Number one, nobody rips all the begadim.
Right.
You never see that. That's number one. Number two.
You take the top.
No, for
parents.
Right, on a parent, most people do. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Do you have to rip the jacket or not? We'll talk about it. Upon the base of Migdosh, nobody rips all the begadim. So what are we talking about? How do you say in Siman Tavkuf Samach Aleph that the Kriya on the Makom HaMikdash is the same as the Kriya on Aviv Al Imo? It's not the same. And not only that, the minig is that we don't rip Kriya on Chol HaMoed if you go to the Makom HaMikdash on Chol HaMoed. When it comes to Aviv Al Imo who pass away on Yantif or on Chol HaMoed and you bury them, so in Siman Tav Kuf Mem Zayin, the minig is that you do rip Kriya. Al Aviv Al Imo, and we hold, the Ramah says, well, if you have the strange minig not to rip Kriya on Chol HaMoed for Shar Krovim, you shouldn't. But for most people don't have that minig, the Ramah says you should rip Kriya for all the Krovim on Chol HaMoed. So if you're right that the Kriya on the Makom HaMikdash is parallel to the Kriya Al Aviv Al Imo, so why is it that when number one, we don't rip on Chol HaMoed for the Churban. Number two, we don't rip Kol Begadav. So what's this all about? So I was discussing this with my father. So he thought the pshat is like this. That the Gemara says, we don't have time to get into it now, but the Gemara says in Moed Katan Daf Chavav that Kriya Luchud and Avelus Luchud. We hold that the dinim of Kriya and the dinim of Avelus are not exactly interchangeable. They're not exactly the same. Yes, the Gemara says halacha kedivri amekel ba'avil. When I have a serious machlokas harishonim or tanoim in Hilchos Avelus, the halacha is always like the mekel, which is a very important din. We'll discuss it more in further weeks. But basically, halacha is always kedivri amekel. But by kriya, it's not like that. Kriya and Avelus don't have the same rules. They're separate halachas. There's a chiyuv of kriya, then there's a chiyuv of Avelus. That being the case, so then we would say over here that if I have a suffik in Hilchos Kriya, we don't say it's lahakel. So over here, Allah the Valima, the din is, you have to rip out Shigala Sliba. But what's the halacha of Kriya for the Churban Beis HaMikdash? So my father has a chiddush, which he proves very extensively in his Sefer Bikvei Hatzon, that the Kriya on the Makom HaMikdash is not like Kriya for a mace. The Kriya on Beis HaMikdash is Medina Avelus.
Very interesting.
Yes, you're right, we say in Hilchas Avelus that Kriya Luchud and Avelus Luchud, but when it comes to Kriya for the Makom HaMikdash, that's a Kriya of Avelus. That's a Kriya of Avelus. So Mamela, that would answer another question. We all know that when, let's say, Rahman al-Islam, there's a Avel who's younger than Bar Mitzvah, right? So the din is, what? Do we tear Kriya for them? So the din is, yeah, Mekaren Lahem, Mepnei Agmas Nefesh, a little bit. Reb Kivega writes, what if he's Higiel Echinuch already? So the halacha is you rip regular kriya. That's what Rabbi Akiva writes in Shulchan Aruch. So why is it that we do that? There's no chinuch on avelus. Right, don't we know that? There's no chinuch on avelus.
I think you mentioned that.
Right, there's no such thing as chinuch on avelus. So if that's true, so why do we rip the beged of the katan? If he's greater, if he's higher than chinuch age, still there's no chinuch on avelus. The answer is because kriya lechud, avelus lechud. Now what would be the din when it comes to ripping kriya on the makom amigdash? Would a katan sheyil lechinuch have to rip kriya on the makom amigdash? The answer is no. Why? Because that kriya is medini avelus, and there's no chinuch on avelus. That's a different type of kriya than this type of kriya. So based on this, if you assume that this hagdara is correct, then we can answer some of the kashas. Yes, the halacha is if a person loses a relative on Chol HaMoed or on Yantif, he has to rip kriya on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because kriya lechud and avelus lechud. Mm-hmm. And although there's no avelus on Yantif or Chol HaMoed, there is kriya on Chol HaMoed. Mm-hmm. That's why we have the minhag to rip for an avel who loses a relative on Chol HaMoed. But when it comes to the kriya on the makom amigdash, that kriya is not the same as this kriya that we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. That kriya is medine avelus, and there is no avelus on Chol HaMoed or on Yantif. So therefore we assume that that would be permissible. Now, how do we answer the second kasha? How come Allah about lima you have to do achigalas libo? And when it comes to makom amigdash, you don't see people ripping all the begadim. What's the answer? So my father said, well, you're right, in Hilchas Avelus we say Avelus lechud and Kriya lechud, and Halacha k'divrei amekel be'avel, but we don't say Halacha k'divrei amekel be'kriya. But over there, by the Kriya on makom amigdash, since it is medini Avelus, you have the right to say Halacha k'divrei amekel.
And be Mekel, just do the
other. Be Mekel on the Kriya also. So since as a machlag is the Ramam and the Ravid and the Ramban and Rashi,
whether it's just the
outer beged, or Kol Begadav for the Churban, so Mela Halacha Kedivri HaMekel by Churban Beis HaMikdash Kriya, and you only have to rip the beged HaElyon. Now, that leads us into a very important discussion. In Sif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch says something about Afrak Suso. He's quoting a Gemara in Moed Katan, obviously. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Afrak Suso Eino Tzarech Lekro. There's a three-way machlokas. What is Afrak Suso? What does it mean? So some Rishonim say it means the beged that he wears on his head. His hat. He's not mechuyev to rip his hat. Other Rishonim say it means a beged zeya, underwear. That's not a real beged. You're just doing it that your clothing shouldn't get.
Right?
B'yeshomim shehu beged shokavet. Some say it means the jacket. So this is a three-way machlokas of Rishonim. Lamaisa, we paskin halacha lamaisa and Shulchan Aruch here, that a beged shokavet, or a beged shel zeya, a tishbeka shel, let's say. So that's clearly a beged shel kavod. You don't have to rip that. Or a beged shel zeya, the underwear, you don't have to rip either. So what's the story with suits? That's the question. What's the story with the suits? So that's an important question. So just before we get to the suits, the Netziv raises your issue. What about the tzitzis? Mm-hmm. Right? So the Netziv says, no, we have the minig not to rip tzitzis. Why? Because that's like beged zeya. I'm not wearing it because I feel that it's chashuv to wear this beged. I'm wearing it because the Rabbanu Shalom told me to wear tzitzis. So obviously we have the minig like the Netziv not to rip the tzitzis. The Shach and the Taz have a machlokas. What is a beged shel kavod? Does beged shel kavod include a jacket? Mm-hmm. So that's a big machlokas, the Shach and the Taz. Most Achronim assume that even if you hold like the Shach, that a jacket is a beged shel kavod, that a jacket is not a beged shel kavod and you have to rip it, nowadays it wouldn't be considered a regular beged. It's certainly a beged shel kavod. Why? Because nowadays it's not embarrassing for you to walk in the street without a jacket. It's embarrassing for you to walk in the street without a shirt on, without some articles of clothing, but it's not embarrassing for you to walk in the street without a jacket. So Mela, according to everybody nowadays, we would hold that a jacket is considered a beged shel kavod, and there's no chiyuv to rip the jacket. If a person wants to, alav v'alimo, we would allow him to because of his agmas nefesh, because he wants to.
If he doesn't want to?
If he doesn't want to, he should not. He absolutely should not. And in fact, if a person only rips his jacket, he's not yotzakriya. He has to rip again on his shirt. Mm-hmm. My father says this all the time.
Is a beged kavod today, even according to Shach?
It's a beged kavod, yeah.
You're saying it's optional.
Optional. So the most optimal place for the Chevra Kadisha to show the person to rip is on his shirt. Mm-hmm. Because nowadays the jacket. So now let's discuss. Where do you start? What's the makom hakriya? So in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Mem Sif Beis, turn back to Sif Beis. It says makom hakriya b'chol makom b'beis hatsaver lefanav. Person has to rip kriya b'beis hatsaver lefanav v'im kara me la'acharav lo yotze yidei chovas kriya. So acharav means if you rip in the back of your shirt, you're not yotze. You have to rip from beis hatsaver shel lefanav. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. If you look in Moed Katan, Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, I have the Gemara here. The Gemara says, Al Kol HaMesim Kulam Ratza Mavdu Kami Safa Shalo Ratza Einam Mavdu. We'll close in 2 minutes. Okay. But basically, the halacha is, if you want to start from, we won't go through the whole Gemara, but basically the Gemara says, the Maskana, that you have to start from an edge. You can't just start in the middle of nowhere. You have to start from an edge. That's the Gemara's Maskana. So, if you put these two things together, look in Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Beis. So what does it say? Al Kol HaMesim. This is the halacha l'maaser from that Gemara and Moed Katan Chav Beis. Al Kol HaMesim, Im Rotza Meniach Sfas HaBeged Shleima V'Korea Me'asafu L'mata, you're allowed to. However, Al Aviv Al Imod Tzarech L'Kroa Kol HaSafu. You have to rip the edge. You can't just start in the middle of the shirt. V'yeshom, says the Rama, Af Al Shar Mesim Tzarech L'Kroa HaSafu V'chein Ovim. So we have the minhag that you're supposed to rip from the edge for all krovim. Okay, so just an important halacha here, the Pesachei Tshuva points out, is that the kriya is supposed to be up-down, horizontal, and not vertical. Something important to note. Obviously, it's not ma'akev, but it's something to think about. And one last ta'ara that my father makes is as follows. The halachic definition of a beged is dalet etzbos. Mm-hmm. That's what a beged. Right. If you have a beged that's smaller than dalet etzbos, it's not called for tumah v'tahara. It's not called a beged. So my father points out like this. To have a beged karua means that you need to have begging on one side, begging on the other side, and ripped in the middle. Right? So my father points out,
because if you're
ripping
it,
if you're going to rip it over here, let's say, you're going to start over here. Okay. So you don't have dalet etzbos till the buttons. You have less. Mm-hmm. So my father says that you have to be machmir to move in enough that you have a space of dalet etzbos between the buttons and the
like
rip.
3 inches.
And then you're going to have two sides of a begging, and then the rip in between.
Right. That's a long
journey. Very few people do that. Sometimes people rip, let's say, from here. They'll start cutting from here, let's say, right? So he says you have to be careful to rip all the way in and then down. So that's something to be careful about, whether it comes to the kriya of...
Other people hold on this.
My father thinks it's davar pashut. He said when he... So I asked him... I asked him when he was... Yeah, I asked him when he was in Avelos. Yeah, 1 second. I asked him when he was in Avelis, how come his shirt was ripped right at the edge? She said, well, the Chevra Kadisha didn't give me a chance. They didn't give me a choice. So I think he ripped again because he thought you're not yet a Kriya. It's not called a Kriya. Kriya has to be that you have a begging on one side, begging on the other side, and then a Kriya
the
in the middle.
It's almost the buttons don't work. See, I mean, I would think the argument back is, since you have buttons here, when you do the Kriya, you still have a shirt on the other side.
No, but it's not. This is the Safa. This is the Sfasa Begad.
Right.
So Mamela, that's where the beged ends officially.
You know?
No, I mean, are you chayv tofer on Shabbos if you go like this with a button?
No.
Right, because it doesn't become one. It's still separated. So that's basically what it sends. Maybe next time we'll just finish up with one more interesting kriya sugya about, when the rest of the chevra is here, we'll discuss about a ben mu'umatz, an adopted child. Are they allowed to rip kriya for an adopted parent? It's a very important sugya that comes up all the time. Okay.